Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. On this podcast, Pastor David Crank helps us understand that God's Word is still relevant and has all the wisdom and guidance to help us figure out the crazy ups and downs in life. If you want to hear practical and inspiring biblical teachings, be sure to subscribe so that you can hear the latest message every week. And wherever you're listening from today, we believe God is going to speak to you and bless your life. Here's Pastor David with the message.
Good morning, everybody. Hilarious. Joe. And man, we got a rowdy crowd in Florida, St. Louis. I know it is rowdy. Worship was crazy. It was buck wild. I hate to rub it in, but it's 75 degrees here today. Literally, Pastor Nicole is there at the new campus in Fairview with Joe and his family. Would you give it up for Pastor Nicole being at Fairview Heights and all the campuses there? She braved it out, man. She went back. She said, I'm going back for the weekend to go to Fairview. I was like, it's going to be 25 degrees. She's like, I'm going to do it. And this wasn't wise, but she did it. Come on, one more time. Give it up for Nicole and all the campuses, every campus. We have a good day today. Look at your neighbor and say, it's going to be good today. And look at him and say, you know, it's going to be great because you got to sit by me. Just tell him that. Also, you know something I found? People love it when you say this. Just look at him and say, if you lost weight, you look great. Just tell him that. You know, some kind of GLP medication or something. People love it. Today we are going to talk a little bit about how to win friends and how to influence people. How to become more likable. Sometimes people don't think, they're like, oh, my wife doesn't like me. Well, no, she doesn't like your attitude. Attitude, as they say, determines your altitude. Yeah. How you get along with people really is, oftentimes goes back to how you really get along with yourself. I think the person that gives me the most problem is me. Raise your hand if that's you. Boy, you needed me because you're not even raising your hand. I'm telling you, this morning when you looked in the mirror, raise your hand if you looked in the mirror. That was your problem, Felicia, right there. Bob, you guys are married. It's an interracial relationship, just like our church typically is. And so the enemy is always trying to get you to react and really not live up to your full potential, seeing things from a different aspect. And then sometimes when we feel like we need to be strong and we don't take advice from other people, then we're not that likable. You remember the story in the Bible where Jesus came in, and it was back in the day before they had cars, and everybody walked, and they had mules and donkeys, which means that the pollution of the day was debris on the streets. Are you following me this morning? Yeah. And so when all the disciples came in to eat dinner, the way they didn't have chairs back then, they sat like this, and now nobody has shoes on, and it smells pretty funky, and here's all the disciples, and Jesus walks into the room, and he did not pretend that there wasn't a problem. Jesus immediately picks up the servant's towel and starts washing feet. It was then and there that other disciples said, no, I got this, and God's like, no, you know, you don't got this. If you would have got this, you would have got this a while ago. I got this. Jesus, the high road leader, is showing us that really the way up is down. And by us humbling ourselves, allowing ourselves, get this, to take advice and feedback from other people changes your life forever. I want you to write this down. Crave feedback. It's naturally not going to be something you're going to like, but you want to crave feedback. At our organization, all the churches today that are represented, we have a lead team, right? And so tomorrow there'll be a meeting, about 20 people, and they'll talk about what happened at each campuses, the highs and the lows, the peaks, the valley, what we did good, what we could do better. And I just sit there most of the time and just listen. And then what I see myself as is a cultural architect. And I know we're going off of here, or we're not going right there, or we need to do a little bit more of this, but I crave feedback even myself. Last night when I preached this sermon, I crave feedback. So I talked to 3 or 4 people that I trust, and they told me, hey, maybe cut that out, and maybe put this in. And you're like, what is it? I can't tell you. You should go to Sunday and then Saturday as well, and then you would know. How many of y'all really want to know one of the things that I said? You do, don't you? Raise your hand and say, I want to know, right? Well, at one point I was bragging on our daughter because recently we made Ashton the global director of worship, which means all the people report to her, and it's a lot, and I was bragging on her, and I said, my daughter, and I said, well, wait a minute. Actually, I didn't have her. Nicole had her. I had a very small part to play, like just a few minutes, and then people said, don't say that again. Come on, so I don't know. These are the kind of things that I'm not supposed to say. Come on, go with me on this, right? Raise your hand if you're like, I could have went without hearing that. Go ahead. They were right. Thank you. So how to win friends and influence people? Oftentimes, the way up is down. So Jesus exemplifies this when he goes down and he starts washing people's feet. If you're too big to do certain things, you're not big enough at all. Because Jesus was always saying, hey, when you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. When people don't like us, most of the time, it's when we try to act like we know what we're talking about. We try to influence people by being strong. And really, to maximize your influence, it's really like this. As I said earlier, John said, people won't go along with you if they can't get along with you. And if you're noticing that, man, there's just something about I'm not craving feedback, and when people say stuff, I immediately resist. Well, first of all, you're going to be horrible in relationships because immediately, I'll just stop here. I have some friends here, Shimei and Morgan and Nicole and Ashton. They were at a party the other day, and they said, hey, will you take a picture of us? Here's what you got to understand when you take a picture of a woman. Listen to me, guys. You're going to get feedback immediately. No. Higher. Higher. How high do I need to go? Come on, ladies. Am I making resistance? Does it really matter that much? Yes. The women say yes. But to me, it doesn't make sense. I mean, when I was single and ready to mingle, I didn't say, oh, my buddy, hey, isn't she pretty? And I'm like, I don't know. Let me go higher and see if I can see. If that's the case, LeBron James is going to fall into sin every day of his life. So feedback, though, if you resist feedback, people will not give you more feedback. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man who is friend, or a person who has friends, must be friendly. The people that you know today and the people that you meet today are a big part of who you're going to be tomorrow. How to win friends and influence people is being likable. You want to know a couple things that will help you be more likable? Raise your hand if you want to be. Some of you are like, man, I'm so likable now, I don't even need more friends. But some of us here that could use the coaching. One thing is to talk to people about their favorite subject. What, you know what people's favorite subject is? Who's the first person you look at in a group photo? Come on, raise your hand. It's you, 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 you. It's like me. So oftentimes what I do is I just come up beside people and I just start talking about them. And they start telling me about them. And then they tell me more about them. And then all of a sudden I figure out, oh, they also like to talk about this. This person is a conspiracy nut, okay? So let's go for this. Or, this person is a sports nut. Let's talk about that. And at the end they go, man, it's great talking to you. I just feel better. Who I learned that from was Nicole. All her side of the family is, they're Catholic, okay? So, and they're priests and nuns. Well, Aunt Kate, who is a nun, and Aunt Joan, who is a nun, in St. Louis, you'll understand this, down in Carondelet Park, they live there at the convent. When I first met Nicole, I don't know anything about that world at all. But we're going to functions there, we're hanging out with the family there, and now Aunt Kate, who's in her 70s, pulls up a chair and starts asking me about me. And then Aunt Joan came, started asking me about me. And then they started talking about me and loving me and proud of me and saw me on TV and thought me was doing a good job and can't believe that me got to marry Nicole and how lucky is she to be with me. And I'm like, I'm going to switch to being a Catholic, I tell you. And then they told me that priests couldn't get married. I'm like, I'm out. Okay, I'm out just for a minute. But what was happening is they were drawing out of me a feeling that made me feel, and I responded to the feeling that I got. And what it is really, they were showing love. If you want to lead an organization, if you want to lead people, ask them about themselves. And then here's the kicker. If you can ever remember a few of the things that they told you, and the next time you see them, you go, hey, Bob, they remember my name. Now, the problem is people always question me on this, Earth City especially. You guys go up and say, hey, what's my name? I'm like, there are thousands of you and one of me. I don't know everybody's name. So typically, if you're a guy, I go, what's up, bud? Come on, somebody. And there's one guy at our church named Bud, so I hit it there with Bud. But if you can, in real life, remember somebody's name, it makes a difference. And if you can remember, hey, I remember last time that I met you, your kids were getting ready to. Remember last time you guys were getting ready to go on a vacation? Raise your hand if that makes sense. Because for people to get along with you and for you to motivate people, you have to make sure they are feeling what you're feeling. Fix your jeans, your boxers are showing. Where, in the front or the back? Or? My left leg. Janet Jackson ain't the only one having wardrobe malfunctions. At least you know I wear underwear. Come on, somebody. Oh, man. What are we even talking about? It's like charades. Like, what? Okay, I got to tell you something, okay? Ready for this? My dad's a preacher, right? So he's preaching. And we were super poor, and we lived in a travel trailer. And back in the day, there were laundromats. There still are, but we didn't have any money. So we just had to, you know, we lived in a trailer, so we couldn't have a washer and dryer. So my mom would take all of the clothes, and she would shove them in every pocket or whatever to take everything to the laundromat. And my dad's up preaching one service in Alabama, and he's going to town. I tell you what, God's going to do this, and God's going to do that. And he reaches in to pick out what he thinks is his handkerchief. My mom's panties. He's a pit. They were my mom, so that's good. Come on, somebody. Oh, man. Why does this stuff never happen to Joel Osteen? This never happens to Joel. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 22. I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I may save some. What Paul is saying here is basically, I am interested in other people, and by being interested in other people, they're interested in me. So now I can bring value to them, and it, listen to this. If you ever bring value to people, they'll keep coming back. Today, if you brought a friend, people at our church are like, oh my God, his underwear was showing. They're like, you won't believe what happened. Who knows what's going to happen? But by bringing this in a humorous way, see what I'm saying? I'm illustrating this to you. By bringing up humor and flowing through it, I call what just happened a second ago, unplanned, the law of spontaneity. Yeah, right. So other people be embarrassed. I can't believe it happened. I'm like, I'm work this as hard as I can. I'm going to take a 2-minute, see what I'm saying right now? So when you're busted at work and you do something dumb and your team calls you out, don't go, well, I've never made a mistake. You're like, guys, did I just, what, huh? It makes people like you because people don't want a leader that's always right. They want one that's always real. Authenticity wins with kids, husbands, wives. Come on, somebody. All right, let's do this. Proverbs 18:21, survey says. By the way, can we for 1 second give a big hallelujah and hello and thank you to every church right now. At every campus has a dream team, and they just hit that on a computer everywhere that quick. Can you give it up for all the dream team in every department, everywhere? The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So the power of life and death are in the tongue. It's not just what you say, it's how you say it. But it is also what you say, just for HR purposes. So there's certain things you can do. Here's something you can write down. Talk good about people when they're not in the room because here's a trick. People will go and tell the people what you say. Talk bad about people when you're in a room and people will go tell the people what you say. So one of the things that makes people feel good and creates, remember I said I'm a cultural architect of our church, I tried to and have always worked on creating a culture of honor. All our team's gonna know this. The dream team's gonna know this. At Faith Church, we honor up, we honor down, we honor all around. This means a facilities person who's cleaning the toilet will be just as honored or more honored than somebody who's on the pulpit because we honor up, we honor down, and we honor all around. A lot of leaders and people make mistakes by talking negatively, power of life and death are in the tongue, negatively about the people they work with. When you do that, it makes the people that you're with think that, I bet they do that when they're not with me, about me. But when you exude that, for instance, my kids, they all work with me. Notice I said with me, not for me. I will never say, hey, Gabe, come up here. I want the world to see you. This is a pretty incredible campus pastor. He's grown this church like crazy. This campus is largely rowdy because he is largely rowdy, okay?
Yeah. Large and rowdy.
But he said large and rowdy. I didn't mean to say that. Thanks for pointing. He was, by the way, going, your underwear showing, your underwear showing. His wife's writing it on a note. I'm like, what? Hang on, guys. I'm getting a note and I can't process. But I would never say, because it's demeaning to say, if I'm introducing him to people somewhere and we're at a convention, hey, Gabe works for me. Why do people say that? Oftentimes it's because they want to feel big. They want to feel like a leader. They want to feel like the man in charge. You know, when you're the man in charge, you know how to identify that? I don't know, but ask your wife and she'll let you know. But when you don't have to say you're in charge. And so I always say they work with me. He works with me. Same with my kids. Give it up for Gabe one more time and Bree, his wife. All right. So there's a statement I'm going to put on the screen right now by John Maxwell again. It says, what you do speaks so loudly, I cannot hear what you say. So when I'm dealing with my kids and have over the years, same with my mother-in-law, you do not hear me tell mother-in-law jokes because I've got a great mother-in-law. I was like, oh my gosh, can't believe it. She's fabulous. I love her. So from day one, as soon as I fell in love with Nicole and looked at her mom, and then, by the way, that's a technique. Yeah, looked at her, thought, what's she going to look like in 50 years? Okay, I can do this. That's not in my sermon. That's just free. But I don't crack mother-in-law jokes because I never wanted a wedge between her. I never told stories that would negatively impact my kids when I was on stage because I wanted them to love church. I wanted them to love the church people. But I watch people talk about their wives or talk about their husbands. You watch me and Nicole when we did the marriage teaching the other day. We didn't poke. You ever seen some people like preach together and they kind of poke fun at each other and they pitch at each other and blah, 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 you know, like, I don't think they're really happy. So we just don't do that. So in your organization, in your life, make sure you understand the ripple effect of negative talk and negative speech. That's why the Bible said this, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And we're all gonna say things that we don't mean. We're all gonna have plenty of opportunities that we go, man, wish I hadn't said that. Which leads me to another point. One of the greatest things you can ever do is tell your team, and tell other people, I was wrong. I did that wrong, and if I had to do that all over again, I wouldn't do that. Another great thing you can tell your team, this is something I did just a few days ago. I had a few people on the team because they really love me. In fact, there's a turtle on, anybody ever seen the turtle on the pole? You know, the turtle on the pole? The turtle on the pole, the caption under that in most cases says, I didn't get up here by myself. So I understand that the platform I have today at all of our campuses and online and people that are watching, that I have been given influence from God, but ultimately influence, and you have allowed me to be your pastor and allowed me to speak into you. And then now if I can honor that and stay as honorable as I can, it'll attract more people and it creates a ripple effect of a culture of honor. But when you do that oftentimes, listen here, people really care what you think. This is my words. It's pretty heavy. My wedding ring, not that heavy. This, heavy. So my words really matter. So when I say, hey, wait a minute. Let me talk for a second about the dream team at every campus, blah, 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 blah. Now, at every campus, our city, whoever's in the back's going, he's talking about me right now. Sunset Hill's like, we got it. Weldon's going crazy. RPC's going crazy. Why? Because those words really matter. So you have to understand, mom and dad, when you speak to your kids, you're just like your mom. You're just like your dad. You'll never amount to anything. It's big. Because you still think of yourself like you're a little kid, but you're not. In somebody's life, you're the leader. So you got to realize that your words matter. So a lot of times I'll go through a team, especially when I'm aggravated. I'll go and talk to my DLT, like four people. And that's where I'm unfiltered. I go, blah, 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 blah. And they don't go and say, blah, 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 blah. They're like, hey, you know, Pastor was talking about maybe that we could, la, 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 la. So much more palatable. Because if I come in, because I'm in a hurry, and I got a flight to catch, and I got problems going, then all of a sudden they're feeling like they're bad. No, they're not bad. I was bad because I didn't communicate in a loving, kind way something that would let people know there's a million things that we're doing right. How are the kids? You look great. And then, hey, there's one thing we could do better, and there's always one thing we could do better. Remember this, Jesus looked at the rich young ruler. You can Google it. And he had everything in the world going for him. But the one leadership thing that he had lacking was he didn't have money, money had him. He had lots of money. We would say he's got lots of money. But God said, you don't have any money, money's got you. And he tells him, one thing you lack, and go sell all your possessions. And he couldn't do that because, again, money had him. But there's always going to be one or two things in leadership that you can do better. Raise your hand if I'm making sense to you today. And one of the things you can do is communicating to the people that you love. Maybe you're like, I'm not even a leader, PD. I work at an organization. You'll be a leader if you start using some of the techniques that I'm sharing with you today on relationships. It won't be long till you will go from the basement to the middle floor, and it won't be long till you'll be sitting with a corner office with a nice view. Because these are the techniques that God put on my heart to share with you at church that are going to level you up to get you this growth, grace multiplied. God's not going to wave a wand in your life. You got to learn this stuff here, because if you can learn it while you're little, when you get bigger, you won't make the mistakes that a lot of us had to not realize that your words are weighty. Give God praise today. So I want you to write this down. Emotional intelligence. Being self-aware. Emotional intelligence and being self-aware is a big one. Sometimes people just aren't aware the way they sound, the way they make people feel, the way they come across, the way they use their hands. Like somebody asked me yesterday, you know, where do you want this last night? And they put it in the middle. I said, no, I don't like anything between me and the audience. Okay, that's why this is over here. I feel like if this is here, there's something between you and I. I like it here. Now, if I was a good preacher, I'd have it here, and it would hide the fact that my underwear was showing. But no. But see what I'm saying? Whenever you have body language that says something different, or you're doing this while somebody's sharing their heart, you're like, I'm a multitasker. No, you have to put it down and listen, because if people don't feel like you have heard them, can I get an amen in this church today? Come on, every campus. I'm preaching to myself right now, by the way. When I die, my phone's just going to be in my hand, I promise you. People lack self-awareness of how they come across. I learned this from Joel Osteen. Joel, one time we were hanging out at their house and doing different stuff, and he said, hey, go to the office. And we had a really cool day where we walked along all the catwalk, and we were having a good time. And then he was just in a mood to go down memory lane. And he said, this is where I edit my show. Every Sunday when I'm done preaching, I go watch it. As soon as I'm done, I watch it with the sound off. Because I'm not really interested in what I'm saying as much as I'm interested in how it looked when I said it. Wow. So that's why you see a lot of preachers. You're like, whoa, you see that with the sound off. You're like, he's an angry elf. Come on, go with me on this. But Joel, he's like, oh, I just like to get started with something funny. I never like to close a broadcast without giving you an opportunity to receive the Lord Jesus, personal Lord and Savior of your life. Me and Victoria, the first time I ever met her, we were at the compact center. We were sitting right there in that section right there. She spilled juice all over me, but guess what? Then I first met her when we bought a watch battery. I needed a watch battery. I went in, she took my money. She's been taking my money ever since. Okay, I know the drill, Joel. I know your script, for God's sake. But see how it comes across? Raise your hand. You see how it comes across? So watch yourself. Listen to yourself and say, hey, I'm not going to be dismissive about this. I'm going to really do better to make sure I'm acknowledging the way I make people feel. Proverbs 17:27. Look at that. One who has knowledge uses words with restraint. And whoever has understanding is even tempered. I was just mad. I was just angry. I was just in a mood. I was just having a day. I'm Irish. Huh? No. The Bible said, walk in love because love never fails. Remember that? Raise your hand. You ever been to a wedding? They're going to say, love is patient, love is kind, love is not puffed up. This is the rules not to kill each other, okay? What God wants us to illustrate is if people feel heard, it makes a difference. Now, Nicole and I have been married for 28 years. And there's a picture of her here. I know they've got a picture. That's me kissing her a few days ago. Give it up for such an attractive grandmother. Okay. So Nicole said to me, maybe a year ago, we were talking, and at the end of the conversation, she said something that really, really made me think. She goes, thanks for listening. I feel heard. Okay. Feels heard. So I got to be smart enough to know a lot of times when we are in, we don't have fights, but we do have intense times of fellowship. And if I can shut up and not go, hey, man, I'm ready to defend myself, and here's what I meant, and here's what you don't understand, then she doesn't feel hurt. But if I can just shut up and listen. Now, sometimes we have a conversation, and she says, well, and I'll interrupt, and she'll go, since you know what I'm going to say right now, why don't you finish the rest for me? This is a trick question, boys. This means shut up. But I'm talking about in relationship at home and relationship at work. Make sure that you're building strong relationships. And the best way to increase your influence is some of the techniques that I'm sharing with you right now. Anybody got time for a couple more? Raise your hand if you got time for a couple more. Okay. Everybody in Florida? How many of y'all give me 2 more minutes? Raise your hand. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 20, 22, 23. Okay. Praise in public, rebuke or correct in private. Praise in public, rebuke in private. Nothing can take down morale than if you're in a creative meeting and somebody shares their heart and you go, that's a dumb idea. There's never dumb ideas, even if they're dumb ideas. You just go, hey, that's interesting. Interesting, by the way, is the greatest word that I ever learned in my life. A doctor told me one time, said, use the word interesting, because interesting doesn't make you commit either way. People can show you that and you go, that's interesting. That doesn't mean it's good or it's bad. Come on, raise your hand. Write that down. Interesting is a great word. Interesting. Now you're going to be using each other after church, are you? Somebody said, what do you think of my coat? That's interesting. What do you think about the holes in your pastor's pants? Very interesting. Too much interesting. So, praise in public, rebuke or correct in private, okay? Private correction reduces embarrassment. Yeah. So if you can come over to somebody and say, hey, you know what it sounded like was, you know, I know you didn't mean this. These are things that diffuse it rather than you're the expert. Let me tell you how to communicate, okay? That's not good. People don't like that. Humility always wins the game. Plus, Matthew 18, this is the Bible verse for it. It says, if your brother or sister sins against you, go point out their faults just to them. You have to blow it up on Facebook. You don't have to tell everybody what's going on. You can just go talk to them. And then if it's something really egregious and we have to deal with it, then you would maybe take it to the next level. But first you start out with them. You cover each other. You love each other. That's what makes a family great. That's what makes a church great, is we love like Jesus loved. And when you do that, it makes everything way better. Come on, give God praise today. All right. Here's another John Maxwell quote. I know I love John, so I use his quotes a lot. The best leaders don't create followers, they create leaders. So when you're creating your culture, even at home, with my grandsons today, I slept at their house last night. And when I woke up, Liam wanted to play dinosaurs, and he wanted to build this dino land that he has. And we're building it together. And so while I was with him, I was saying stuff like, "You're a builder just like Bay." That's what he calls his grandmother. Nobody made this up. We tried to get him to say Bunny, and he said Bay, which means before anything else. She's a lucky woman. Not only she got all this. So I said, "Hey, you're just like Bay. You're a church builder." He's a little baby. I'm pre-programming him. She said, well, aren't you kind of just directing his path? Oh, yeah, because if I don't direct his path and his mom and dad don't direct his path, the school system will direct his path, the government will direct the path, the enemy will direct the path. So the Bible said, teach and train children in the way they should go. Come on, church. That's why we bring our kids to church. I don't feel like going to church. God didn't ask you. Bring your kid to church. You know they need to go to church because they act like you. So I did a couple things. One, I uplifted his grandmother to him. Two, pointed out his grandmother's a builder of churches. Three, he's a builder of churches. Soon as my other grandson comes down, he starts smiling. He's a hugger and a smiler. He hugged me and he smiled me. And I looked at him and I said, "People are going to love you. You're going to be such a great pastor. People are going to come to church just to see you." He's smiling. He doesn't know a word I'm saying. He's like, "Oh, yeah, I love you. I don't know, but I know you were here when I was born. You've been here my whole life. I've been here 9 months, and I see you every week of my life." I'm pre-programming him. Pre-program your kids. Pre-program your mind. Pre-program your life. Don't just exist. Create leaders. Come on, somebody. All right. Last scripture, Mark 10:45. "For even the Son of Man," Jesus Christ himself, "did not come to be served, but he came to serve." The high road leader, the best leader says, "Let me get it for you. Let me get the door for you. Let me pick up that trash. Let me help." It took me a long time, even at our church, I remember Pastor Phil at Weldon today. Pastor Phil and Pastor Omar had to keep smacking my hands because I was with the people so much at Earth City. When they would take down 1,000 chairs to do a women's event, which, by the way, is coming up, Rockstar. It'll be in the announcements. Be there and bring your friends to Rockstar event. It's going to be unbelievable. Friends don't just let friends not go to hell. They don't let them go through hell. And Nicole's event that's coming up, Rockstar, the event is going to be amazing. And it's free. So I would be out there and I'd take all the chairs down with them. And Pastor Omar's like, "You can't do that. You're tired. You've worked 18 hours. You preach. You got to go." But I wanted to be with them. And mostly I was creating a culture that I wasn't above cleaning a toilet. I wasn't above sweeping the floor. Y'all follow me right now? So the way up is not through selfish ambition. I know I lied to you and said, there's one scripture I want to go. One last one. Philippians 2:3 says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility," not pride, "value others above yourselves. Not looking out for your own interests, but the interests of others." So, like I said at the beginning of the talk, remember when I said the nuns set me down? And after I left, I felt better. I felt heard. I felt loved. It's exactly what Growth Track will do. It'll bring out the leader. Some of you have been coming to the church for a while. How many have been coming over a year? Raise your hand if you've been coming over a year. How many have been coming just only a couple months at every campus? Raise your hand, it's only a couple months. I want to talk you into going to Growth Track today, not tomorrow, today. Growth Track's where we connect with God, connect with people, discover our purpose, and make a difference. Discover your purpose is what I'm talking about right now. When God blesses you, will you have the vernacular to handle it? Will you have the vocabulary to handle it? These are the things that we start teaching, because once you get to Growth Track, you start serving at church. And when you serve at church with a Baby Gap shirt, you get a hot wife. Come on, somebody, where we saw this at the beginning. Serve, okay? I'm going to meet a girl at a bar. How's that working out for you? You've been married 9 times. Meet a girl at church. So, make sure that you are always working on you by not just going to church, but adding value to church. Baptism, stand around the tanks. Yeah! Growth Track, and see a new person with a red bag. Hey, let's go to Growth Track together. I've already been to Growth Track 5 times, so you're a winner. Go for 7, that's God's number. Go for 8, it's new beginnings. Can I get an amen? Use your life at every campus. I'm challenging you right now to help other people. And the greatest value you could ever, ever do, the most fulfilled you'll ever feel, is when you give your life away. Jesus exemplified this when he said, "For God so loved the world that he gave." Every church, what did he do? He gave. You guys are overachievers. You just quoted the whole verse. Come on, every campus, give it up for the religious people at our church. So we're most like God when we're giving. I love that song. Give myself away. Oh, give myself away so you can use me, right? So when you're giving away, if you just take, 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 have you ever gotten a text from somebody? You're like, oh, crap, not them again. They just want something and want something. Raise your hand. If you don't raise your hand, I'm assuming you're the person that's texting us. But then you ever get a text from somebody? You're like, well, I'm texting them back. It's going to be fun. We're about to go out to eat. We're about to do something good. So don't just be a taker. Add value and be a giver. Was that all right for today? Yeah. Amen. Not yet on that. Okay. I feel like one more time you need to tell your neighbor, say, you look better now than you did a minute ago. You just do. Another question. Did you have fun today? I want to know, did you have fun? Did you laugh loud? We worked the wardrobe malfunction now, didn't we? We worked that. I don't even want to look at my phone because I guarantee you my wife's going to be like, I've told you not to wear jeans with holes in it. Brother Copeland always says, he wears those poverty pants with the rips in the pockets. And I mean, like, it's stylish. I mean, you know, I pray so much on my knees, it just wore them out. Trust me, there'll be a meeting where we get feedback that I crave after today. I want to share something with you before we end. And I think I would say that, especially, you know, recently you've seen that remember what I call my prayer journal or my prayer log, where I showed you in the middle of the night, God took me over and we stood right by Fairview Heights and I was right over next to the weed store and God said, your church is here. And remember that? Raise your hand if you remember that, okay? So I say that not to impress you, but to impress upon you. God really does speak to me, okay? So this last week he spoke to me. And he challenged me, and I wrote it down. He said, you have allowed a certain group of the people to really get blessed at the church. They really get it. And they're tithers, they're kingdom builders. But then because you're uncomfortable and you never like to feel like you're taking from people, you're holding them back because you have not been teaching them about tithing. Maybe once a year I'll talk about it. And he said, from this day forward, this was last week, I'm holding you responsible for the doctrine and the theology of tithe within your church. Because so many people are living below the blessing of their life because they don't get it. While others at our church are growing exponentially, having incredible financial breakthrough because they honor God with the tithe, which is 10%. And even my team has started challenging me in recent days and they said, hey, you know, some churches are doing a thing now to where it's like, it's an introductory of tithe. And there's an app that people can do. And it's like, hey, I can start out with 3% and I can start out with 7%. And God told me, here's what he said to me, you do not lower my standard. It's called tithe because it means 10%. And he said, what they do with it will be their business, but I am holding you responsible that I didn't say 5%, I didn't say 3%, I said bring the whole tithe, which means 10%, into the house of God. I'm not saying that. I wanted to leave going, wasn't it funny? But God's like, no, no, no. Don't lower my standard. Raise your hand if that makes sense. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to hell. It just means oftentimes your life will actually go through hell because you're not doing what God asks you to do through his word. The Bible is always right. Genesis 14, verse 18. So I'm going to do a little 2 or 3 minute teaching for the next few weeks to get me out of trouble at the end of my sermons. How many of y'all bear with me on this? This is like after a commercial where it's like, Ozempic may cause, this is that. The word tithe means 10%. We find this in Genesis 14, verse 18, that Abraham gave a tenth to Melchizedek. Leviticus 27, verse 30. It says, the tithe of everything from the land belongs to who? the Lord. Malachi 3:10 says, bring the whole tithe, not part, tithe means tenth, bring the whole tithe to the storehouse or the local church that there may be food in my house. Think about it today. At 25 degrees in St. Louis and all those hundreds of thousands of square feet worth of churches, there's big gas pipes outside going, what is, this pays for that. It rescues girls out of sex trafficking. It builds orphanages and all the hundreds of people now that just in the last 10 days have received blankets on the streets of St. Louis at 25 degrees. That makes us the Church of Jesus Christ. The government shouldn't do this. It should be the church's job, and we would do it if we honored God with the tithe. Go ahead, give God praise today for that. So he says, bring the whole of the tithe to the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me, says the Lord, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour you out so much blessing, there is not room enough to contain it. Some people say, well, the tithe is under the old covenant. Well, in Matthew 23, verse 23, Jesus affirms and says that tithing is right, it is just, and it should be done. A modern day example is the founder of Hobby Lobby, Mr. Green. Mr. Green, a billionaire who founded Hobby Lobby, believes not only in tithing, he practices it. There's a picture of me and Nicole at the board meeting in Highlands College that doesn't accept any funding from the government. But Hobby Lobby there at the board meeting, there's Nicole and all the paperwork, they gave $10 million a few months ago, and at that meeting they just gave an additional $17 million to help build dorms for kids. And my pastor, Pastor Chris Hodges, we're standing there looking at Highlands College, and the Church of Jesus Christ has built that, and we're not corrupting kids' minds. We're teaching them leadership and changing the world for the better. And Mr. Green, because he was a tither, is blessed. At Oral Roberts University in 2007, Mr. Green came in and they were going broke, and that college was going to be bought out by a liberal college that would teach something very different. And Mr. Green said, Oral Roberts didn't live and die to build this organization for it to go away. And he wired $70 million to Oral Roberts University and took them completely out of debt. Can we give it up again for a man who tithed? A guy who wasn't born rich, but he knew that tithing was a doctrine. If you want your business blessed, you want your life blessed, be blessed. And again, there's this many people who pay all the bills at our church, and I just talk to those people, and we have Kingdom Builders, and I send them videos, and we talk about these things, and I don't like to talk to them. New people are going to come, and they're going to get offended, and God told me, I don't care, because if you keep them broke, I will hold you responsible. So we're going to give you the opportunity today to step up to that. You might not be able to do it today, but next time you get paid. So many people would say, you could raise your hand at every campus if you say, I was surprised how God increased me, or I didn't even feel it. It just worked. Raise your hand at every campus. It just works. Just try it. Just try it. If it doesn't work, this, God said, test me. Because when you do it and you honor God, you will see the long-term residual reward. So for the next few weeks, I don't know how long it'll be, but God cleaned my clock. I knew I was in trouble. Anybody ever knew you were in trouble? And I'm like, okay. He's like, hey, cut out the joking for a little bit and tell people how to get blessed financially. You know why? Because you're going to have grace multiplied in every area of your life. Give the Lord a hand as you watch this. Check this out.